Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
You have to be a good manager of time and of resources and keep a very open mind and open ears. You'll have a lot of people bombarding you.
Grayson State Representative Jill York is talking about the job of House Majority Leader. She wants it.
The wildfires in eastern Kentucky are creating health problems for some residents of the area.
And the Cynthiana farmer says goodbye after serving 20 years in the Kentucky legislature.
In sports, the football Eagles hope to win their last home game Saturday. They host Campbell.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with frost possible, lows in the 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The wildfires are making it hard for some eastern Kentuckians to breathe. The story from Will Clark.
Wildfires in southeastern Kentucky are causing poor air quality, prompting the Kentucky Department for Public Health to issue a smoke inhalation advisory to people living in the region. The agency says air quality tests in parts of Bell, Harlan, and Rockcastle counties have shown values that are unhealthy for sensitive groups. Harlan and Knott counties have test values deemed unhealthy. Breathitt and Perry counties have readings placing residents in the very unhealthy category. I'm Will Clark.
2016 is going to go down as a poor year for farmers. That's what a professor of agriculture markets at the University of Kentucky told state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon. Will Snell testified before House and Senate members of the Interim Joint Committee on Agriculture. He says the U.S. Department of Agriculture is estimating that net farm income will be down about 10% this year.
We're down about 40% from the level that we had a couple of years ago. But again, you've got to somewhat put this in perspective. You remember we had the 2007 to 2013 period with phenomenal growth in U.S. agriculture.
Snell says that growth was fueled by a boom in ethanol, though he notes the last 3 years have been pretty tough. However, Snell explains the current outlook isn't all bad. He says farmers have benefited from lower energy prices and feed costs have dropped a little too.
For the first time since 1921, the Republican Party will hold the majority in the Kentucky House of Representatives. Needing to win 4 seats to take over the chamber, GOP candidates won 6 of them in Tuesday's elections. That included the defeat of longtime Democratic Speaker Greg Stumbaugh by challenger Larry Brown. Representative Jeff Hoover, who will likely be the next Speaker of the House, called out Stumbaugh, who had said this year's legislative elections were a referendum on Governor Matt Bevin's policies, saying the people have spoken, and Bevin agreed.
The former speaker did say this would be a referendum on our administration and on what has happened for the last year, and I think that's exactly what it is. And I think the people like what they've seen.
The change of power means there are no longer any Democrat-controlled chambers in the South.
After again winning election to her 96th district seat, State Representative Jill York wants more. The Grayson Republican says with the GOP winning control of the House on Tuesday, she wants to represent her party as the chamber's new majority floor leader.
To be a part of the legislative process in a new and more active way on the House floor looks really intriguing. And from the parliamentary side of it to being making sure that you're fair to all the members on the floor, you know, just respect and kindness, that sort of thing that I believe goes along with that role. It looked like something that might be something I'd like to try for.
York says her ability to manage time and work with people gives her the skill set to handle the majority leader's role. She'll be bidding to replace Moorhead Democrat Rocky Atkins in the job. York won re-election by handily beating Democratic opponent Josh McGuire. House Republicans will meet soon to begin organizing themselves for the 2017 legislative session.
And speaking of Rocky Atkins, the Moorhead Democrat has been re-elected to the Kentucky House, beating Republican Wendy Fletcher by a 32-point margin. Atkins has represented the 99th district since 1987.
I look forward to working for the constituents of Elliott and Round and Lewis County over the next 2 years. We've got a lot of work to do. We've made a lot of progress, but we've still got a lot of work to do to get our communities and to get our economy where it needs to be.
The defeat of Speaker Greg Stumbaugh now makes Atkins the highest-ranking Democrat in the Kentucky House of Representatives.
Democrat John Sims Jr. won the 70th District House seat over Republican John Van Meter in the race to replace veteran lawmaker Mike Denham of Maysville. Over in the state Senate, incumbent Republican Steve West breezed to a 35-point victory over Democrat Charles Linville III.
The top vote-getter for one of six seats on the Moorhead City Council says he's ready to get to work. Tom Carew is returning to the panel after being forced to resign in March because of concerns that his city council seat would prevent him from collecting a state pension. Carew says he wants to focus on recreational issues and how to get new police and fire stations built for the city. He also wants to update Moorhead's planning and zoning rules.
Recently, you know, we've seen several issues come in front of the Planning Commission and the City Council that are great concern for the citizens. I think that we need to channel resources to the Planning and Zoning Commission so that they have the expert advice they need to develop and modernize our planning and zoning rules.
Re-elected to City Council Tuesday were Jan Bishop, Beth Oosley, Glenn Teeger, and Carolyn Franzini. Newcomer Mike Cash also won a seat.
Voter turnout on Election Day was very good in Round County. Clerk Kim Davis says 8,985 residents, which amounted to 65% of the county's more than 14,000 registered voters, showed up to cast ballots. Davis thinks this year's heated presidential race boosted the turnout.
Sure did. It sure did. It brought people out, and people probably that haven't voted or even thought about their voter registration in years came out to vote. So I think it's important. It shows that people are concerned about our country and what's going on and the direction it's headed.
As an indicator that turnout would be up, Davis says there were nearly 400 absentee ballots cast in Round County, the most that she's ever seen.
The man who will become Ashland's mayor in January says he wants every citizen to get a fair shake from his administration. Steve Gilmore bested incumbent Chuck Charles in Tuesday's election. The winner spoke with WSAZ.
I'm going to be accessible, I'm going to be accountable, and I expect my commission to be that way, and we'll be transparent.
This is Gilmore's second go-around as Ashland's top elected official. He was mayor between 2002 and 2008. The four city commission seats went to Marshall Steen, Amanda Clark, Marty Goot, and Matt Perkins.
Newly re-elected Congressman Thomas Massey of Lewis County is hoping infrastructure is a top priority of the next Congress. The Republican spoke with KET.
We're a river district. 14 of the 20 counties touch the river here. We've got roads and bridges and an airport. And so I serve on the Transportation Committee. I'd like to see us bring some of that money that we're spending on infrastructure overseas in other countries and bring it back here to this country.
Massey has been a proponent of replacing the 53-year-old Brent Spence Bridge, which links Covington and Cincinnati.
There will be a new face in Kentucky's congressional delegation starting Monday. Former Agriculture Commissioner James Comer Tuesday won both a special and general election to replace fellow Republican Ed Whitfield, who resigned as 1st District Congressman 2 months ago. That means Comer will be seated in the House of Representatives next week. Comer tells KET he spoke about that with Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Because Ed Whitfield resigned on Labor Day, I was on the ballot two times. So people had to vote for me twice, and they did, and there wasn't much difference in the percentages in each margin in each race. So he said, be ready to go. The lame duck session started, and there were a lot of big issues that would be voted on in the lame duck session, and I'm ready to go.
Comer ran unsuccessfully for the Republican nomination for governor in 2015.
Ashland Incorporated today reported a net loss for the quarter ending September 30th of $272 million. Company chairman Bill Wolfson says the results are owing partly to weak energy demand and divestitures, as well as an unfavorable foreign exchange rate. He says the Covington-based specialty chemicals firm is expecting growth next year for some of its businesses to exceed the projected gross domestic product of 3 to 3.5%. However, he doesn't think it'll be across the board.
We have much work to do, and it will take some time to see the full impact of our efforts. However, we are committed to making the tough decisions to further evolve our portfolio. We're also committed to improving our margin and growth rates with a fundamental focus on new products, commercial excellence, and reducing our infrastructure costs.
Wolfson says Ashland passed a significant milestone in the last quarter with the completion of its first-time public stock offer in Valvoline Incorporated, its successful lubricant business. Valvoline is becoming a separate company, though Ashland maintains a controlling interest in the firm.
Travelers using a section of Kentucky 11 in Owsley County should expect delays through November. Kentucky 11 will be closed from mile points 14.4 and 14.9. Crews are reconstructing the intersection of Kentucky 11 and State Route 30. H.B. Elkins is with District 10 of the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. He says traffic will be detoured via existing Kentucky 30 in Levi.
So there's a small detour that's been put in place, and it just involves traveling a portion of old Kentucky 30 and then tying into a new section of Kentucky 30 back to Kentucky 11 northbound toward Beattyville.
Construction is scheduled to be completed by the beginning of December.
Road work will begin soon on a dangerous section of a Lewis County road, MSPR's Xavier Atkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, construction will be done to improve Dugan's Curve in Vanceburg. Dugan's Curve is located off Kentucky 8, about a mile outside of Vanceburg. That spot has been site of several accidents over the years. Dugan's Curve will be redone with a high-friction surface, its slopes will be adjusted, and its drainage will be improved. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the work will start next week. The project should be finished by mid-December. The Dugan's Curve area of Kentucky 8 will be closed to traffic on weekdays from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I am Xavier Atkins.
And finally this afternoon, the longtime chairman of the Agriculture Committee in the Kentucky House of Representatives is one of the Democrats who lost his seat in Tuesday's election. Harrison County cattle farmer Tom McKee has been a member of the state legislature for 20 years. He's a past president of the Kentucky Farm Bureau and began his political career as a magistrate on the Harrison County Fiscal Court in 1978, a post he held until he was elected to the General Assembly. McKee co-chaired his last Agriculture Committee hearing this afternoon.
As we move forward, I'm excited about agriculture and continue to think it has a great future. And I simply say it's been a great honor to serve in the Kentucky General Assembly. It's been a great honor to serve as the chairman of this committee for the past several years. So my best to the committee and my best for 2017.
Before departing, McKee urged his fellow legislators to continue and expand Kentucky's $1.2 million Farms to Food Banks program. He says feeding hungry people is a lot about what agriculture is all about.
And turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, be advised there is a frost advisory in effect from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. Thursday. As for tonight, partly cloudy with areas of frost late, lows near 35 degrees. Thursday, sunny with areas of frost early, highs in the lower 60s. Thursday night, clear with lows near 43 degrees. For Veterans Day, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly clear with patchy frost developing late, lows will be near 33 degrees. Saturday, sunny with highs in the lower 50s. And on Sunday, sunny, highs around 60 degrees. It is currently 49 degrees in Ashland, 48 degrees in Flemingsburg and Inez, 50 degrees in Lexington currently, and 49 degrees in Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 49 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. And there isn't anyone we would rather spend a Wednesday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, a new report highlights the connection between trees and human health. As the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyer reports, it's calling for cities around the globe to invest in trees as a way to cut pollution and reduce temperatures.
A new report says planting more trees would be good for our health. The Planting Healthy Air study from the Nature Conservancy looked at the potential impact of planting trees in specific cities to lower heat and pollution and how that could affect health, especially in regard to asthma. The group's lead scientist, Rob McDonald, says trees provide shade and release water vapor into the air as they photosynthesize. Leaves remove particulate matter from the air around the trees, including toxins from auto exhaust and factory and power plant emissions.
Trees can reduce air temperatures nearby by 2 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit, and they're already doing that for tens of millions of people worldwide. And they can remove up to a quarter of the particulate matter concentrations in the atmosphere, so one of the most damaging kinds of air pollutions.
McDonald says heat waves are responsible for 12,000 deaths each year, killing more people globally than hurricanes or winter storms. Additionally, 3.2 million deaths annually can be attributed to fine particulate matter, a component of smog. The report says by 2050, this type of pollution could kill 6.2 million people every year. McDonald says elderly people face particular risk as the global climate shifts and average summer temperatures increase.
One forecast from the World Health Organization is that annual mortality from heat waves could reach 250,000 people by 2050 unless cities start to adapt. Smart cities are starting to think about heat action plans.
The study found if cities around the world invested $4 for every resident in tree planting, tens of millions of lives could be saved. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:47, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon from All Things Considered right here on Morehead State Public Radio. And Braxton will have a check of sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State football team is gearing up to face PFL rival Campbell in their final home game of 2016. After pounding Butler 54-28 last Saturday, senior quarterback Austin Gayhafer says the 3-6 Eagles have one main goal remaining for the last two games of the year.
Just finish strong. You know, it'd be cool to get two more W's and, you know, end it the right way. And, you know, that's all I can ask. I've had a lot of fun here, and, you know, hopefully my career doesn't end. You know, it will at Morehead, but hopefully it doesn't end. But, you know, I'm just blessed to be able to play here.
Gayhafer will be one of nearly 20 MSU seniors on Saturday who will be playing their final game at Jane Stadium. Kickoff will be at 1 p.m. The Kentucky football team heads to Knoxville to take on Tennessee on Saturday. After starting the season 0-2, the Cats are now 5-4 and need one win to become bowl eligible for the first time since 2010. Head coach Mark Stoops credits his team's toughness and hard work for turning things around.
Well, edge is not about, you know, just an attitude. An edge is disciplined execution in the face of adversity. And we didn't always have the execution that we needed. So I've never faulted their effort. You know, I don't know if there's a team in the country that's worked harder than us the last 7 weeks.
Kentucky is 4-3 in the SEC, currently in second place in the East Division. Tennessee is 6-3 overall, but 2-3 in SEC play. Rowan County football coach Gene Peterson is proud of how his Vikings handled things during his first season at the helm. Peterson took over the program in the summer in the midst of the turmoil involving the controversial firing of former coach Roy Graham. Peterson, though, credits his players for hanging tough during a campaign that ended with a 2-9 record.
They came together as a team, and, you know, knowing going in that we were going to be very young, inexperienced, and had a whole lot to learn, but our kids got better week by week, and finally, it kind of all came together the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and where we was able to reach one of our goals, and that was make it to the playoffs.
The Vikings season ended with a 46-12 loss to Bourbon County last week in the first round of the Class 4A playoffs. After beating Lawrence County 29-27 in the first round of the state Class 3A playoffs, Fleming County is getting set for a major test. Coach Bill Spencer's 8-3 Panthers hit the road Friday to face once-beaten and top-ranked Belfry in their Round 2 contest.
We're kind of looking at it as a big-time opportunity, you know, an opportunity to play the obviously one of the best teams in the state of Kentucky. You know, it's a monumental task, but we're preparing to try to go down there and play our best game and see how it works out.
9-1 Belfry is coming off of a 50-0 whipping last week of Bath County. On the eve of his team's season opener, Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods believes the Eagles will be even better in 2016-17. MSU won 23 games a year ago, losing senior guard Brent Arrington and Corbin Collins in the aftermath. However, Woods says some key recruiting additions have given him a much more explosive ball club this season.
These guys here are more skilled, taking guys off the bounce. The dribble drive is going to be a lot better and a lot more fluent because we do have guys that are more talented with the basketball. And we'll be more in attack mode. You know, we'll be playing much faster. I think we'll score more points.
The MSU men's basketball team opens up on Friday night at 7:45 against Kentucky Christian. The Morehead State women's basketball team is looking forward to hosting this weekend's Donna Murphy Classic at Johnson Arena. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles will open things up with Georgia State on Friday at 5:30.
We feel like preseason, you're definitely spending more time on your team as opposed to the opponent, but we do respect them a lot. And we know we'll have to have a very good game to win, but we're, ready to get our first game and move forward.
Eastern Michigan is the other team in the Classic. MSU will face them on Sunday at 1:30. John Calipari is getting his team set for its season debut on Friday night as well. The preseason-ranked number 2 Kentucky basketball team takes on Stephen F. Austin, and as Coach Cal notes, things get rolling for them in a hurry.
We got 2 days to prepare. We got 3 games in 5 days, and we travel. And we're in the garden on the 3rd game in the 5th day. So I got 2 good days of practice. I can't. Like, you can't kill them. It's like, okay, 2 good practices. The 3rd one is we're touching up on stuff. We can't just go crazy.
The Cats host Kinesis on Sunday and then travel to New York to face Michigan State in the Champions Classic next Tuesday. Finally in sports, the Morehead State Volleyball Eagles finish up the regular season this weekend with 2 road matches in Tennessee. Facing Tennessee State on Friday and Belmont on Saturday, the Eagles will be looking to lock up a spot in next week's OVC tournament. And if they can do that, head coach Jimmy Gordon likes their chances.
If we can get another win and really shore up our spot in the OVC tournament, it's from 1 to 8 on any given night. Everybody is competitive. So there's nobody that's too weak or nobody that's too strong. And so I think it's going to be an exciting OVC tournament.
Tennessee State is 16-14 on the year, and like MSU, 7-7 in OVC play. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football plays its final home game of the season, hosting Pioneer Football League opponent Campbell University at 1 p.m. Saturday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com. It is 4:53. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of the stock market for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks surged more than 1%, with financials and healthcare leading after Republican Donald Trump won the presidential election, defying market expectations for a Hillary Clinton win. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 256.95 at 18,589.69. The S&P 500 was up 23.7 at 2163.26. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 57.58 at 5251.07. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16-13 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Before the opening, Dow futures were actually about 200 points lower. And, of course, overnight, Dow futures at one point showed an almost 800-point loss. And, of course, when the markets actually started trading in the United States, they certainly defied what appeared to be a very weak opening in lieu of the unexpected win by Donald Trump. Overseas, European markets erased losses by late morning, with the Stock 600 index trading about 1.5% higher. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 shed more than 5%. U.S. crude oil prices finished the day up 44 cents, or about 1%, at $45.44 a barrel. And overnight, gold traded much higher, but by the end of the trading in the New York session, gold was actually showing a slight loss for the day. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Pfizer. Your worst performers were Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Navient and United Rentals, and the worst performers, Centene and TripAdvisor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $6.09 at $108.88, CSX up $1.81 at $33.88, AEP down $1.99 at $61.24, AK Steel up 84 cents at $6.91, Marathon Petroleum up $1.77 at $43.59, and U.S. Bancorp was up $1.69, finishing at $46.67. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and Moorhead's annual hometown holiday weekend, December 1st through 3rd. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 1st at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Events continue on Saturday, December 3rd with the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University. Hometown Holiday on Main Street and the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. More events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
And turning to take a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a frost advisory in effect from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. Thursday. For tonight, partly cloudy with areas of frost developing late overnight. Lows will be near 35 degrees. For Thursday, sunny with areas of frost early in the morning, highs in the lower 60s. Thursday night, clear with lows in the lower 40s. For Veterans Day, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Friday night, mostly clear with patchy frost developing late. Lows will be in the lower 30s. For Saturday, sunny with highs in the lower 50s. Saturday night, cold and clear skies with patchy frost. Lows will be in the upper 20s Saturday night. Sunday, sunny skies with highs around 60 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear, lows near 37 degrees. And on Monday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower 60s. It is currently 49 degrees in Ashland, 48 degrees in Flemingsburg and Inez. It's 50 degrees in Lexington currently, 49 degrees in Winchester, and right here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is currently 49 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, and Xavier Atkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.